Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Everything School HQ over there on the other side of the country, where she is very plugged in to what should be a just really, really fun Oakland A season with the wins piling up. Maybe, who knows, when people think about the Texas Rangers, the Houston Astros, they also think about where will the Oakland A's fit in atop the AL West. And to talk about all things Oakland A's, I've got one of my favorite MLB writers for many years. Melissa Lockhart is here. Melissa, good afternoon.
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you for being here. So I wanted to start when we're looking at spring and we're doing our previews, and John Taylor, formerly of Fangraphs, is here every week, and we talk about all things baseball. And one of the things we've been wondering is, you know, with the A's, like, Tony Kemp's been a fun story the last couple of years. He's been really solid for them. But when you're parsing through your spring questions and like what could go right, where can they develop, who's next up, who should fans be excited about? What for you, though, have you jotted down this spring that you've really studied and have been most curious about with the 2024 Oakland A's?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're obviously in a state of very flux, like I think no other organization has seen major league level in a very long time, maybe back to the Expos in the 90s. But, you know, this is a team that the off-field story is, of course, going to be the story that most people are probably more focused on than the on-field story. You know, that being said, there's some young players that broke through at the end of last year that I think they're hoping to really build around. Zach Gelof, of course, I think is the guy that, you know, most people would start with, and I think is the one who has the biggest chance to be an actual, you know, star in the big leagues. He had a great rookie campaign that, you know, came up right after the All-Star break and was one of the top second basemen in baseball from that moment on, really. And I think had he been in the big leagues the whole year, probably would have challenged for rookie of the year. So, you know, I think they would want to build around him. Brent Rooker was a great story last year, hitting 30 home runs and, you know, but, there's a lot of questions too, and, a lot of movement. I think, you know, the pitching was a big problem from the start of last season. The starting pitching was really unsettled and they just couldn't get into any sort of rhythm. So this year they brought in a couple of veterans and Russ, Stripling and Alex Wood to hopefully stabilize the starting rotation. I don't think anyone's going to confuse them with, you know, what the New York Mets were throwing out there last year or whatever, but it certainly is, you know, a rotation that should probably give them more innings that are a lot more stable than last year. So I'd look for improvement, but I don't think the Astros or the Rangers have anything to worry about.
Just the Angels, maybe. Yeah,
maybe. Those two are interesting mirror images of each other in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. And me being a Braves guy, and obviously the Braves have benefited a lot from the Oakland A's strategy over the last couple of years with Sean Murphy and Matt Olson now being members of the organization and trades. when you look now at who they got the A's specifically for Olsen and Murphy, who should A's fans be most excited about in those two hauls?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of players involved that have still not fully, you know, gotten an opportunity yet at the big league level. And I think there's a lot of time left to see how really all of them are going to play out. But, you know, Sheryl Engeliers is the guy that has made the biggest impact already. He's been their starting catcher for all of last season, a little bit shared time with Murphy at the end of 2022. Outstanding throwing catcher, has a lot of power still, you know, I think is trying to balance the intensity of being an everyday catcher with his offensive potential. You know, there's a little bit more swing and miss, I think, than they expected last year. But I think he has the talent still to be a very solid everyday big league catcher in the major leagues. And then you look at a lot of the pitchers, you know, they clearly went after pitching in those deals. And Kyle Muller really struggled last year. It was the opening day starter, actually won in a game that was started by Shohei Ohtani, and then everything else went haywire for them for the rest of that month. But he's looked really good this spring. He's out of options. It's not clear if he'll be in the rotation or not, but we'll probably make the team either way and could end up, you know, getting spot starts along the way. Joey Estes had a great spring, went down to minor league camp along with Robert Salinas. And both of those guys, though, I think you probably will see at the big league level at some point this year. Estes probably more in a starter role. I think Salinas, it remains to be seen whether he's a starter or a back end guy with the kind of stuff that he has, but a little bit of command issues. So, but you know, I think there's some guys still in the mix there that they'll have to see, you know, what happens to him. Obviously Christian Pache is not with the team anymore and they didn't get a whole lot out of that, but I think Langeliers is probably the top player from that so far.
He's going to be a good player. I feel like he's going to be a long-term pro. And I mean, it hurt to lose Langeliers, but with Murphy and company, you're just kind of blocked. And that's just how it works. You have to give up something to get something. And Murphy is going to be hopefully a long time all-star and valuable vet behind the dish for the Braves. But I also am curious. So when you're thinking about where Oakland, we talk about the Angels and why they're similar in a lot of ways in more than one. Like, where could Oakland potentially surprise? Where have you seen, like, maybe with the schedule, kind of with what you've seen thus far in the spring, where could they surprise? Maybe in the standings, maybe in roster development. Where do you see things on that front?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with pitching. You know, this is a ballpark still that, you know, plays better when you've got a good pitching team than good hitting team, if that makes sense. So the pitching needs to be better. They need to throw more strikes. They need to be able to get more innings out of their starters. This sounds really rudimentary, but that was a huge issue last year. If they're not playing from behind every single game, you know, it makes it a lot easier to function. I think the offense has a chance to be a lot better. You know, there's a couple of interesting outfield guys that should probably get some time. JJ Bleda, who was a top 10 pick for the Marlins a few years ago, acquired for AJ Puck. And then also Lawrence Butler, an Atlanta native that you probably are familiar with. Both, you know, really talented guys who should get some time in center field and a little bit in the corners. There's a more speed element, I think, to this team than you would expect from a typical Oakland A's team, not just Esteury Ruiz, but a lot of guys who can really run. And I think they'll try to take advantage. You know, if you're not a superstar team with a lot of sluggers on it, might as well create chaos. And so I think, you know, you're going to see a little bit of that. So, you know, you can see them running into a few good runs here. I think if they can get themselves back into that mid-70s win range, you know, I think that's something to really would allow them to build off of that heading into next season. And I think that's, I mean, it would be a big leap from where they were last year, but I think it's not entirely unreasonable to think that they could get back into that range.
When you think about what Mark Kotze has done as the manager of Oakland, what do you think he's gotten most correct since taking over?
Well, his leadership is really impressive. I mean, this is, again, as I alluded to earlier, one of the absolute most unusual situations any professional organization, not just baseball, has ever had to go through, right? Like, to have this going on, to have basically no feedback from the ownership side or the business side on how to deal with this. So they're having to, you know, answer a lot of the questions about relocation that you would think, you know, the adults in charge would be having to answer. And he handled that incredibly well. He really kept the team together. He leaned on some veteran players to help keep the clubhouse strong. But, you know, this could have defeated him. I mean, here's a guy who's won his whole life. He's won since he was in college. And, you know, to have two really bad seasons in his first 2 years as manager, you know, could have really crushed him, crushed the team. And he's kept everybody really positive. So I think absolutely that's the biggest aspect of his managerial career so far.
I like it. We kind of touched on this a little bit at the top here, but like if the A's don't finish with the worst record in baseball this year, like if we're going clairvoyant Melissa here at the end of the year, why do you think that will ultimately be the case, that they overachieve and get in that mid-70s to upper 70s win total?
Yeah, I think, again, and I'm going to repeat myself, the pitching, they need the veteran guys to be stable at the beginning. And then I think some of the younger guys need to take a step forward and sort of take over for those guys midway through the year. So Ken Woldychuk's going to start the year on the injured list. But if he can come back healthy and pitch the way he did at the end of last year when he was really looking good, J.P. Sears and Paul Blackburn can continue to pitch as they have the last. And then, you know, guys like Estes, guys like Salinas, coming up and making an impact, that's where they're going to find it. You know, if Mason Miller can stay healthy and he'll be in the bullpen this year, but pitch enough innings that you could theoretically move him into a rotation role for 2025. You know, I think that would really put them in a good position. And if you pitch well in Oakland, you generally win. So I'm not saying they're going to win a lot, but I think you win a lot more when you're a good pitching team there than when you're a good hitting team. That is absolutely got to be the key for them.
When you think about the rebuild and the teardown over the last few years in Oakland, and obviously there's a variety of reasons as to why Oakland has operated the way they have in the last few years, and a lot of that being a major disservice to the fans, the longtime fans, and how they've approached all of this.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
With the teardown. But if you were in charge of Oakland, what in the last couple of years specifically, like what would you have done to expedite this rebuild? And maybe even just this offseason of like, I think Major League Baseball teams sometimes overthink free agency and how much signing this player will change our course, or we won't be able to still be in rebuild mode if we sign Cody Bellinger to a 3-year. It's like, well, no, you'll still be a bad team. Like it's good to have quality veterans. It's good to have people in the organization that help usher you into that next group, whether that's, you saw that with Baltimore a little bit with Mancini and Cedric Mullins, as they have this unbelievable wave of young talent. I think that's something that's overlooked in a lot of modern MLB front offices, of just like, look, you can do a teardown, like long-term rebuild, while also spending money to the point where it's making the lives easier for those next wave of talent that you're bringing in. And I look at Oakland and you just don't see a lot of that right now.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I think you can't start winning until you have winners in the clubhouse. Mm. Right? Like that's a huge part of what's happening. And expecting rookies to come up and be winners isn't really that fair to them. Yeah. That being said, I'm not so sure they had much of a sales pitch even for a lot of these free agents this offseason. I mean, the couple that they were able to sign had all played for the Giants and were familiar with the area already, and that probably helped. But they did make some overtures to some other players, and I think there was the uncertainty around where they're going to be playing for the next 3 years really made it difficult for to even say to somebody, we'll overpay you for on a 2 or 3 year deal. So I think that played a lot into it. But I think you're right. No, and if you look back at the previous rebuilds that the A's front office have done, they have operated a little bit that way, where they brought in a Bartolo Colon for the rotation. And then all of a sudden things kind of clicked in. Even going back to the late 90s, it was Ricky Henderson and Jose Canseco coming back, I wouldn't be surprised if, they're able to get their situation more stabilized if that's something they go back to trying to do. But they also are dealing with an ownership group that's been also far more frugal, and I'm being polite here, frugal than even the past ones have been. So, there's probably a limit there as to what they can do creatively. But I do think that they see the value also of having a veteran mix in there as well.
And this is, I guess, kind of a complicated question, but when you think about, we talk about the uncertainty over the next 3 years in Oakland, what do you foresee? Because the rendering, which the latest one, I was talking to John about this, where it's like, I wish someone would do a breakdown, and maybe this is The Athletic, of who has more stadium renderings than between the Rays and the A's over the last 20 years, because the amount that I have seen between Tampa and Oakland trying, and now Oakland with the Vegas aspect to this as well, I don't know what to believe when you see the latest one. I do love the meme of like Kramer, just, I don't know if you saw the Seinfeld Kramer meme of like, yes, in the right field. where have you been? I'm in the first inning of the A's game. But when you think about everything that's gone into the potential sale, the potential move of the Oakland A's, where they'll ultimately end up, do you see that getting finalized this year? Do you see the uncertainty wrapping up? Do you see a possibility of the Oakland A's staying in Oakland? Or is it maybe just they move, but they don't necessarily go to Vegas? Like, where is everything in this regard?
I mean, honestly, because we can't even come up with a coherent prediction for this right now is 100% what the problem is. There were almost a year to when they announced that they were going to be moving to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like we have any more clear understanding of what that plan is going to be than we did before. They've gotten some financing approved. That financing is being currently challenged in court. They have renderings, but the renderings keep moving around. Clearly they put a lot of effort in the outside of that stadium rendering, but zero effort on what was going to be inside, which, if it's a dome, the inside is going to be awfully important to the people that are in it. There's no plan to get for what the rest of that resort complex is going to look like around it, which I think is really going to determine what this is all going to be like. There's no approvals yet on the lighting, and there's a major airport right next to there that needs to be able to see in order to land the planes. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions as to whether John Fisher actually has the financing to meet the other end of the financing package that he hasn't gotten from the state of Nevada. I would think that in the next year, we'll get answers to those questions. I can't predict what the answers are going to be at this point. I would have thought we would know within 2 months of that announcement, all these questions right now, that we're almost a year in and we still don't know is really hard to understand. But the longer this drags on, the more embarrassing this is for everybody involved, right? So at some point, somebody has to make a move. And maybe it is Major League Baseball stepping in and saying, listen, like, for the health of the game, we're taking over this process, whatever that might be. I don't know, but we'll have to see.
Because like you said, it's a disservice to the players. It's a disservice to the fans. It's a disservice to the other teams around baseball, because it's hard to, I mean, deal with Oakland right now, where you're like, I don't really know what they're doing outside of just shedding payroll and getting ready for a maybe move. Like, I'm just so surprised that it's still like we're a year out. And the fact that we're wondering if the A's end up in Las Vegas at all is just out in the atmosphere as we're getting ready for a 2024 new season. Like, it's baffling to me that there's no sense of urgency to resolve this on either side. And I don't know. I mean, worst case, just say, hey, this is a way more difficult process. We didn't have our ducks in the row. We're going to commit to Oakland for the next 10 years and explore and see whatever, if something else comes up. But like, you could do that and change your mind. But like, say something in terms of like where this thing is headed, because the fact that there's just rumors all around about like the future, and like you said, with the court battles, this, that, and the other, I don't know. It's just such a weird, weird situation.
It is. And you know, I think it's one of those things. It's very illuminating to see how much of a bubble a lot of the people in charge sort of live in, you know, because I think a lot of them haven't recognized the absurdity of the situation that everyone else can see, because all they're hearing is this echo chamber of, you know, four or five people being like, oh, yeah, it's going great. And so, you know, until that bubble is burst, we probably still exist in this like weird situation where everybody else is kind of pointing and being like, this is like the weirdest thing we've ever seen. And they're walking around with the coat that says like, this is the greatest coat I've ever worn, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't know how it resolves itself, because the people who need to be the ones that say this can't continue this way continually say everything's fine, you know? So until the emperor is not wearing any clothes and people like get the emperor to see he's not wearing any clothes, you know, we're going to be in this sort of state of, uncertainty. So we'll, you know, it'll continue on, but it's got to end sometime, because they're running out of leg room. I mean, you know, the city of Oakland will eventually move on from having the Coliseum there at all as an option to even play in, right? They may be able to extend their lease for the next 3 years. At some point, that's a big piece of land that's going to get developed differently. So, you know, they've got to get something somewhere, and they still have this, you know, Howard Terminal possibility in Oakland if they wanted to go back to it. But even that probably doesn't last forever either. And then, you know, then they really find themselves out of options. So, I don't know. I don't have a good prediction on that. But it's been a wild, wild year. I'll say that.
Yeah. And then from the outside, I've just been rooting for the Warriors and the Lakers to buy it. Like, that would just be such a great story for Oakland. I feel like every fan where it's like, man, that's the one where I just sit. I'm like, that would be great. Just buy the A's. Just Joe, like, buy the A's and keep them in Oakland, and do that. I don't know. I don't know if that's still possible, of maybe Fisher selling and just being like, who knows? Like, I just don't want to deal with this anymore. I don't know.
It's weird, because it's like, if someone was offering me $1.2 billion to not screw something up anymore, I'd happily take it. I'd happily take it for $1,200 probably. But I think they're, and it's probably not just like, there's multiple people in the Bay Area that have, you know, expressed interest in purchasing this team and taking the burden off his hands. So I that would be the best scenario. And then maybe you can have a expansion team in Las Vegas, and they can have their thing there too. Yeah. And everyone's happy, but we'll see.
We shall see. Melissa, what can the good folks check out from you all across The Athletic and everywhere else this week?
Yeah, well, we're ramping up all of our spring training coverage. Obviously, opening day is just around the corner, so lots of great stuff over at The Athletic. We've got some really great writers to get doing some stuff. We got a couple of guys out in Korea now to cover the Korea series too. So if you're interested in all that and everything, please come over and check that out. So.
Absolutely. And it's just like 4 years ago when we were all staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning watching the baseball and everything else. Yeah, that's how we're starting. That's how we should start every year. It just brings it back. Melissa, thank you so much for making the time. I greatly appreciate it. And we'll have to check back in again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Chase.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.